All right, ladies and gentlemen, hey, welcome to another episode of Gnip Gnop. I am Gnip. Of course, that is Gnop. No, it's actually Chris Kucinski. Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I am feisty today. Today we're going to be talking about we're going to go all over the place. We're going to be talking about keyboard warriors today.
Assholes.
We're going to be talking about concerts and how much would you spend on things. But before I do that, I got a quick question for you. Are you a pack rat at all?
Do I have to incriminate myself?
Should I ask your wife?
Yes and no. Well, she'll say yes. I say no.
Yeah, well, of course. See, and I am. But only for certain things.
Okay.
And one of the things that I've always held on to is like old concert t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Working at the radio station, I would get mailed all this cool promotional stuff. Like I have Ministry, Jesus Built My Hot Rod Motor Oil. I've got William Orbit, Water from the Vine Leaf, Bottled Water. But today I was so excited. I was in the basement looking around, and the day that I got hired at 89X, like full time, like pretty much full time.
Yep.
My boss at the time, Greg St. James, said, listen, you start tomorrow. Tonight we celebrate. And he took me to St. Andrew's Hall to go and see the band 808 State play.
Nice.
And after the show, we went backstage, met him. And it was so cool because he's like, hey, this guy just got a great, you know, he just got hired on full time. And one of the guys from 808 State was like, oh, wow, cool. You know, we've got these hats here. We'd like you to have one. And I found it like 30, it's like 31 years old, this hat. And so today I'm wearing it because I'm just excited that I found my 808 State hat that I got at the show at St. Andrew's Hall the night before I started at 89X.
And it still fits.
It still fits. I mean, nothing else from 30 years ago fits. Not even my skin sometimes.
But. There you go.
So some sad news today, of course. We all know Prince Philip passing away at the age of 99. And it was just announced that Earl Simmons, also known as DMX, has passed away at the age of 50 from a heart attack.
50
years old. Well, they say that he had overdosed on April the 2nd, and it was touch and go. But over the past couple of days, after suffering the heart attack, his organs started to shut down. And about 2 hours ago, they said he probably won't make the Friday.
Right.
And just about 35 minutes ago, they announced that DMX has passed away. So some very sad news there because man, he was talented. I mean, I'm just going to go that. He was talented.
There you go.
So, you know, condolences to the families and to the fans.
Yeah. And, you know, I was watching the morning news because I do watch the morning news. And, you know, they start talking about, you know, what a tragedy it was that the prince had died. And I'm like, wait. The guy's 100 years old and he's royalty. Where's the tragedy in all this? You know, there is no tragedy in this. He had a great life and he did some great things and, you know, wonderful for him and cheers. The real tragedy is, you know, the incidents we see in inner cities and like Detroit, you know, like a 3-year-old gets shot or whatever. I mean, those are tragedies, my friend.
Yeah.
Not but, some know, prince it, who it, dies at 100.
No. And, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, it's sad and I wish, you know, I wish condolences to the families and you know, people who care.
That's right.
You know, but it's like at 99, you know, you do have to think, you know,
wow.
I'd like to live to 99 and be able to and upright, you know, and so, you know, so.
You are a prince. I don't care what anyone says about you.
Thank you. Well, so earlier this week, a couple of days ago, I got attacked. Oh. I got attacked today. This was the week. It was the pile on Gnip week. Even if I posted something positive, I still somehow found somebody to find a way to get onto their computer and try to, you know, put a knife in my back or something like that. So this week I have been called a coward. I've been called sheeple. I've been called, I was told that my white privilege was showing. I was told that I was part of the great human experiment. And it was one of those kind of things where I just went, where do people think it can just, you can just do that? You know, do you remember the old days, you know, when your mom and your dad said, first of all, don't call each other names.
Yeah, right.
Because name calling's never nice. And then the second one was, hey, if you don't have something nice to say,
shut up.
Just move on.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah. So I said, it's this whole keyboard warrior thing where people feel so strong and so ready to take on the world from their computer. And then it's like, it's kind of like, especially when they jump onto your page and you've had this.
Oh yeah. Lots of times. It is what it is. It just, you know, people get it. Look, I think some people almost need to write a psychological profile before getting on social media. I really think so. There's got to be a way of you know, some people feeling this freedom to be able to speak whatever comes into their mind. And, you know, there's some really, really bad pages on Facebook that you really got to unsubscribe from. Dude, there's pages now that are literally putting up a person's picture and then letting people pile on with the guy's name and then, you know, talking about him. And it's a page with like 45,000 people. I'm not even going to name it
because it's not worth actually, it. That's actually my page. That's my that's my personal page. Please pile on my pictures.
I tell you, it's just terrible. Just terrible. No, but you know what? And it's very, very difficult in this time and age as well because, you know, the caremonger page that we have in the town of Amherstburg, it's very tough to kind of go through all those comments and curate it, right? Like, you know, the rules are very simple. They've been very simple since day one. Don't attack. Don't be negative. Don't tell me about, you know, tinfoil hats and you know, we're all good here. But I tell you, people don't listen.
No, and that's the thing, right? And you know what? And I'm one of those kind of guys. I love everybody's opinion, and I will listen to everyone's opinion. I don't have to agree. I don't even have to respect it, but I'm going to listen to it, and I'm going to always try to be polite about it, right? And this goes back a couple of years ago, working with the river. And I remember some woman, you know, and I can't remember her name. And she posted on I put something up on the river's Facebook page, and she posted, "Whatever, Gnip, I don't like you. I'd rather listen to Dan McDonald." Right, and I laughed. Yeah. And so I answered her very nicely, and I said, honest to God, I don't like me sometimes, and I'd rather listen to Dan McDonald than me. And she didn't know what to answer back.
Yeah.
And she was just completely flabbergasted that I didn't want to get into this, you know, debate over, you know, you know what? She was probably angry. Maybe her, you know, her husband yelled at her in the morning, and then her kid got suspended from school. Who knows? I don't know. She might have been having a bad day, but it was just so strange that, you know, it's that whole thing. It's like, listen, we can have a debate, but once you start calling names, and that's the thing that gets me. It's like, would you call me a coward to my face?
No.
And that's the part that always gets me. It's like if you're fine calling me that to my face, well, then maybe I have a little bit more respect for you. But it's so many times there's people who are, you know, behind the scenes, and they're just like, Hulk smash everything. And then when you see them in real life, they're kind of like, hi, how are you?
Sometimes they just need to off gas, and this is their place for therapy and off gassing. But the reality is, dude, you just got to have a thick skin and just go, okay, bye-bye, bye-bye. Well,
you know, and I remember, you know, I had somebody once tell me, you know, just to let you know, you've got almost 5,000 friends on Facebook. Not all of them are really your friends. And I went, well, I know that.
Right.
I know that. Some of these are, you know, some people are just, we're connected through Facebook, but are we considered friends? I don't know. Maybe, you know, I don't know what the terminology for friends is anymore.
Even. Some it's are like, bots.
You know, hey, you stay away from my bots. I like my bots. I mean, the one girl says she promises that she will be here soon.
That's right.
Because, you know, she says that she thinks I'm a very good, happy, and sexy man.
Sexy man. Hey, sexy man, what are you drinking today?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We forgot our drinks. So today I felt like I wanted a little bit of dessert while we were talking. So I'm having a coffee with 40 Creek Nanaimo Bar cream liqueur in it. And it's like a sugar rush. So I'm going to be going for a run later.
I'm going to be bouncing off the walls.
Oh, yeah. And you, sir?
So, I got a really great friend of mine, Deanna, who works over at Pernod Ricard. And she knows how much I love old fashions. I've never tried the Weiser's old fashioned already in a bottle mixed. And I thought, you know what? This is a good day for it. Today's a good day. But I'm going to adulterate it. I think
you'll enjoy it.
But I'm gonna fix it up too. So, you know, we're gonna start with some Luxardos, you know, because really, are they not the best cherries in the world?
Yeah, you go big or go home.
That's right. So
if they're bright red, you don't put it in.
Oh,
a drink.
Oh God, no. That's for like fruitcakes and stuff like that. You know.
And who eats fruitcake?
No one does. No one
but
does.
But we sure like to share it.
We smile a lot and say, "Oh, thank you very much for the Christmas gift. That's so nice of you." So, you know, like now, you know, besides, you know, not having the orange or the Aperol, we'll give it a try. Really.
You know,
I'm a big old fashioned guy, right? You know, I just love my old fashions.
So here's how I describe. And so they also, Weiser also has the premixed Manhattans. And I find the Manhattan, they're premixed a little bit sweet. So I have to add a little bit more whiskey to it. So not like I think that that's a bad thing ever, having to add more whiskey to something.
And this is sweet, by the way.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I like it.
But no, think, right? So if you were going to somebody's house, you're sitting in the backyard. Not a bad thing to bring with them, because you can just ask for some ice and there you go. You can have your own man, your own old fashioned, but
dude, it's 35% alcohol. You're not going to bring this to a party and go, yeah, just give me a glass with some ice.
Sure. You will. That's when you, you have children who can pick you up.
Yeah. Bring the vacuum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. So so going back to the whole keyboard warrior thing. It's like, they talk about Facebook and social media. A lot of these companies, they talk about that they're protecting each other, you know, and you can report someone and all this kind of stuff. And this goes back a couple of years ago. There was a fellow who was a very, 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 very conservative. And he went after me and he used every term that he could possibly think of that would be to get under my skin. And I wouldn't, and I find a lot of times, kill him with kindness, right? Just kill him with kindness.
Sometimes.
And all I said was, and this was to this day, I still, you know, I answered him back and I said, you can have all the thoughts you want. I don't, you know, it's your right, sweet cheeks. And I got a 3-day suspension for using the term sweet cheeks.
On Facebook.
Sweet cheeks. Somehow he called me out on that. And they decided that sweet cheeks was a punishable offense, which I went, huh.
Oh, yeah.
So now I just say sir and ma'am. It's,
you know what?
Easier.
Look, I think easy lessons in life are just be kind. Just be really kind to people, just like you want to be treated. And, you know, let those guys go kill themselves, you know, with hatred and everything else. So that's always been my philosophy.
And the other thing is, when it's done, it's done. Don't carry it on. Don't carry it on to the next day and the next day. And that's one of the things that I like about dogs, right? You know, my dogs will argue and snip at each other. And then 20 minutes later, they're lying in the same basket and they forgot everything that they were upset about. It's like, just move on. You had an argument. Okay, great. You want to get a vaccine. I don't want to get a vaccine, or, you know, vice versa, you know, whatever. We don't have to hate each other. That's your opinion. And speaking of the vaccine, go get it. It was awesome.
You got yours.
I got mine. I got mine on Wednesday. And that's one of the things that started the whole, you know, keyboard warrior thing, because I said, I'm glad I got my vaccine. And then that's when I was told that I'm now part of the great experiment and the great reset.
Oh, God.
So I hope if they are resetting. Well, if they're resetting something, I'm hoping they reset me to like 6'2", 200 pounds, six pack of muscles on my stomach, and handsome. Because if that's the reset I'm looking for, pick me.
Yeah. But you know what else is really exciting this week is I managed to buy some tickets to a concert.
Yes.
For May of 2022.
So it's not bad. A year and a bit away.
I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you what I paid for them right now, but they are my wife's favorite band, and she'd never seen them live, so I just thought, yeah, it's worth going to see them, and it's Rage Against the Machine.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I pay for concerts. I mean, you know, I have these little perks because I do a lot of work for Fox Sports, and they have suites, you know, all the way through all the major arenas. So, I mean, you know, I've been perked a lot in the last, you know, 5 years or 6 years of working with them.
Did you say you've been perked a lot or perked a lot?
I've been perked a lot.
Oh, perked a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, it's great to you know, have sweet seats and go see, you know, great arena acts. But I decided that I was just going to go buy these because they came up, you know, they're like second row on a bowl, you know, overlooking the stage. Like, I mean, they're phenomenal seats, but wow.
So, so my question is,
yeah,
I ask you how much you paid?
Yeah. So you got to consider that it's the seat cost plus the taxes, plus the fees, and then you got to exchange into Canadian dollars. It's nearly $1,000.
All right. But hey,
having said that,
you know what?
It's a real treat for my wife for birthday, anniversary, Christmas.
And I will tell you this right now. That is you know what? It's money. You don't do it all the time.
Oh, it is money.
You know, you are lucky to be able to go and do something like that. Now, I've never spent that much on a concert.
Neither have I.
You know, right. And you know what? And to be fair, it's I have working with rate, you know, working in the music industry since 1984, I've been able to get. I've been very lucky, knock on wood, to get things that, you know, a lot of people don't get or have a chance to. Shit. But I totally understand it. Yeah. You know, if for some reason Morrissey and Johnny Marr kissed and made up and they said, ooh, hey, listen, it's going to be a Smiths reunion tour and we're coming and playing, I'd be standing in line going, here's my $1,000. I don't care. You know, it's like, you know, I've done stupid things like that for dinners where, you know, the bill comes and I go, huh, it's almost a paycheck.
Yeah.
But it, you know what? It's making memories.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting you say that because, you know, I think if there was a concert that came up and it was Johnny Marr and Morrissey and they did come out, I know a lot of guys who would pay a lot of money to see that show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I almost did that when The came back. So Matt Johnson announces, hey, I'm going to come back. I'm going to go do a show at the Royal Albert in London, England, and decides, hey, oh, it's sold out in what? Half a second? Okay, we're going to add three more shows. Oh, that's sold out in like 2 seconds? Oh, I'm going to go across North America. So before he announced North America, I was going, oh, boy, wouldn't it be great to kind of go see him in London and fly over, spend a couple of days, you know, see the show, come back, because he hadn't played in 18 years.
Exactly.
And then we you know, you and I went and saw him. We saw him in Detroit.
Great show. At the Royal Oak Music Theater.
Great show.
Yeah. Well, and that, yeah. But that's the thing, right? It's like I am so much, you know, like I said, music. I mean, there's only three things I'm going to spend my money on. Like, I drive an old car. My car doesn't have power windows or power locks. I could care less about that kind of stuff. My car is 15 years old. I'm good with that. But I'll spend money on a good concert, good food, and good drink.
Mm.
You know, other than that, cheers. I'm like, you know, I'll go get my Joe Fresh t-shirt. I'm pretty happy with that. It was $9.
But you know what? You and I would see upwards of 200 concerts a year when we were young. Yeah. I mean, when you know, what people don't realize is when the borders were open, like we had open borders between the United States and Canada in the mid to late 80s into the 90s. This is obviously pre 9/11.
Yep.
Where we would go to class in the morning, go to Mexican Village for lunch, come back for more classes at the university in the afternoon, and then we would go over and we'd go to two or three different shows that night, you know, between like St. Andrews or Bookies and you know all these different clubs in the United States. Then we'd come back, and that was only a Tuesday, because then we went back to the shelter on Wednesday nights for all you can drink $5, and oh, yeah. we did all this, and it was crazy. Like we would literally see a couple hundred shows a year for kicks.
Well, and that's the thing, right? When I started it with 89X, and that's the thing, I honestly went deaf for a little while thanks to 89X, just because I started off kind of as their concert reporter. And you know, I would be at I'd be at 10, sometimes 10 shows a week, and that would be 3 months worth, you know. So you know, you figure how many shows that is. I'd walk out of there sometimes going, I can't hear. You know, I'd be answering the phone and I'd realize it was actually my ears ringing and not the phone ringing. It was just, you know, the tinnitus in my ear. Now, speaking of Rage Against the Machine, though, yes. So here's the thing, though. I am going to have to see if I can find
my favorite Marxists.
I'm going to have to find my Rage Against the Machine t-shirt, and I will give it to your wife.
Oh,
and the reason why I'm going to say this is I have a footprint on the back of it from the guys that rushed the stage. So they played Cobo Hall, and they played with a band called Girls Against Boys.
Right.
From on Sub Pop Records. Well, I was there to actually see Girls Against Boys, and we had seats. So Joe Louis Arena, boom, like this. We're like right on the first seat up off the main floor, because I'm like, hey, this is good. I'm an old guy. I don't want to stand up the whole time, and I can do this. And I probably about two songs, maybe three songs into the show, into Rage Against the Machine, all of a sudden you see all the security guards start ringing the main floor, and they're puffing up like this, and they're looking up. So of course I see that, and I think to myself, I go, huh, I wonder what that is. Well, everybody that was up in the upper seats up in the, you know, the, yep, the stands decided that they were going to rush the main floor. Well, you saw these security guards when a bunch of them started to come, you just saw them just go, yeah, fuck it, I'm out. And so basically I bent over with my buddy, bent down kind of in that crouch position, and I made sure that footprint never came off my back because it was on the back of the shirt, and it was my Rage Against the Machine shirt that I got from Epic Records. So
there you go.
But yeah, it was a fantastic show, though. Holy hell, were they good live.
Yeah, looking forward to it in May of 2022. A lot can change between now and May of 2022, let me tell you. But we are looking forward to it, so should be good.
You know what?
And by the way, Tom Morello has an open mic here to come in and join us on the show anytime. We've told him that. So,
you know,
who knows?
Well, we'll talk him into it. We'll just be like, "Come on."
Who knows? We'll see.
Well, I'll just, you know, I'll post old pictures of him. when Rage Against the Machine came out, I was working at 89X at the time, and I got a box. It was kind of funny. It was a cardboard box about the size, you know, like this, you know, just a normal cardboard box. And in it was the cassette of the debut album but it wasn't all in, typed out, so it wasn't actually produced. It was just the actual album, but it was an advanced copy,
right?
And Killing in the Name was the CD. That was the CD single,
right,
that came in, and there was an awesome Rage Against the Machine toque in the box.
No way.
And the best part about that I loved about all of it was, first of all, they all looked like these young kids.
Because they were young kids.
Right. But whoever took the pictures, like some of their promo pictures, it was kind of like, come on, you know what? You be clean, be come on, look like you're having fun here. Come on.
Right.
And they were, it was just so funny because, you know, you listen to the album and it's hard, it's powerful, it's big, it's bold, and it's there.
Yeah.
And you'd look at the picture and you'd be like, oh, he's so cute in this picture, you know?
Yeah.
So I would have, I'll have to see if I can find those pictures of some of the early promo pictures. Cause you know, you're like, huh, that lyric from him, eh?
And interestingly enough, if you just talk about Rage just for a minute, there are not very many, and you know, we can debate this all day long, musicians today that are producing political and politicized music to that extent.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, when I say they're my favorite Marxists, they really are. And all their songs talk about that. They're very, very transparent as a band. And so is Morello and also his activism. So it, for me, it's like today, and I am a big fan of today's musicians and their acts that are coming out. And, you know, I'm always on top of the indie music charts and trying to find out, you know, what's great and what's new. But to find something like Rage out there today with that kind of a really pointed political view, good luck.
But you know what I think part of the reason why it's hard to find someone like that now? Because they can now do it on social media. They can do it on video. They can do it on podcasts. They can do it on so many different fronts that it's almost like it's almost the day of the political artist and the political and even like the superstar is weirdly gone, you know? And I always think back to somebody like Errol Flynn. He was a superstar, you know, Mae West, all these people.
Jesus, how old are you, man?
Right. Right. You know, no, but if you think about it, they weren't doing TV. They weren't doing music videos. They weren't selling perfumes. They didn't have a line of, you know, like it's almost like even, you know, music videos went to a certain level. And then all of a sudden, then YouTube showed up and you didn't have to go to much music.
Right.
You could just go onto your computer and see it. And it stopped being so. You know, then you could go to their Facebook page. Then you could go to this. So I think, you know, the end, it's going to be tough to find another artist like Rage Against the Machine. I mean, let's be honest, that album is like listening to a diatribe. And I say that in a good way. Like it's
correct.
It's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a Public Enemy. Right. Yeah. It takes, you know, it's one of those albums where it's highly political and it's a classic album that, you know, everyone should have in their repertoire somewhere and pull it out every once in a while and go, huh. You know, it's like Matt Johnson, those same political attributes are appropriate today. There's still exactly. The same issues of wealth and poorness and, you know, the poor controlling stuff and it's, or the rich controlling stuff and the poor not being able to get their due. And it's those common themes have been going on for millennia. But the reality is this music that you find today isn't as political. It's a little more sanitized. And you're right, on social media, they may be a little more political, but it's the music that'll live on, not the social media that lives on.
Yeah, and I think some of the problem is with the other problem is, you know, and it's kind of funny. Again, it goes to the whole concept of, you know, and I'm going to use somebody like Kim Kardashian. Well, Kim Kardashian can be political up to a certain point, but if she goes too far, well, then stores aren't going to sell her Kim Kardashian lipstick.
Right.
It's like, oh my goodness, she went too far. You know, somebody like Rage Against the Machine, somebody like Public Enemy, they weren't selling anything.
No, they weren't.
They were selling their music and their beliefs and their stance on life.
That's right.
And it was, if you liked it, you bought it. If you didn't, just don't come to our show and you don't have to wear our t-shirts.
Because we're going
to
kick your ass.
Arr!
And well, that's it. That's it. That's all the time we got.
All right, my friend. Well, it's always a pleasure. It's good to see you. And I hope you have you enjoyed your old fashioned.
I did. And we'll see you guys next week on Gnip Gnop.